Please take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke chapter 22. The message, which will lead us to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, began to come together in my mind early last week as I began to think about our Lord and how merciful He is. In fact, the title of our lesson today is called Long Suffering. And so we will be moving in that direction of 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Shall we stand together as we read from the book of Luke, chapter 22, and verse 31? And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here and to proclaim the Word of God, especially as we will be ending in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, where we learn that thou art long-suffering. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. Now bless these that are here, either in person or are watching. And Lord, we ask that your name would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been warned that danger lingered nearby, and you ignored the warning in ending up paying for your foolishness? We remember the story of Cain, who was warned by the Lord himself concerning his attitude, saying, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Genesis 4, 7a. As we know, Cain did not heed the warning of the Lord, and in jealousy and anger, went out to the field and killed his brother Abel. And the Lord cursed him. Before the battle of Jericho, the decree went out that those that went to battle were not to take any spoil from the city, that the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron were to be put into the treasury of the Lord as a first fruit offering to the Lord. Yet Achan, the scripture says, committed a trespass in the accursed thing when he stole from the Lord 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels and a goodly Babylonian garment. Joshua chapter 7. I always liked that phrase. And a goodly Babylonian garment. Achan and his family all were condemned to death. And the Bible tells us in verse 25 of Joshua 7. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Of note, the Bible informs us that they took Achan and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and asses and his sheep and his tent, all that he had. He was a man of substance, and yet he stole from the Lord. He was warned, just as Peter was warned. If you would, here in Luke chapter 22, let's begin reading at verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, that being Jesus. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." Now, can I interject right here that Peter should have said, "You're right. I am a follower of Jesus Christ." But that's not what he said. And it says here, "And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.'" Now, I have often said this on a Good Friday when we have been talking about Peter's denial, about the fact that Peter should have said, "Uh-oh, what did Jesus say? Before the cock crows, I will deny him thrice." He'd been warned. How many pastors have warned people to get things right? How many times we have heard, "I wish I'd have done this," only to have the reply, "Too late. Too late. I should have done this, but I didn't do it." Verse 59. "And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirming, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." He was warned. And how many have been warned that they need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they need to repent, that they need to get their heart right with the Lord and live accordingly? And that they have said, "No one's going to tell me what to do. I am going to live my life my way." Back again now to verses 31 and 32. Of Luke chapter 22. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." When thou art converted, when you are changed, when you have repented, when you get things right, aren't you glad for second chances? Aren't you glad that the Lord is merciful, that he is long-suffering, that he is still working on us to get us right? And yet how often chastisement must come. The book of Hebrews chapter 12, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll read verses 5 and 6. We live in a world that wants to believe that I am not responsible for my wrongdoing. We want to blame others. How often the guilty want the innocent to feel guilty. Because, well, after all, why should I have to be punished for something that I did when there were reasons? Verse 5. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastising of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son which he receiveth. Don't be surprised if the Lord does not bring against us judgment. Chastisement, meaning scolding, reproached, reprimanded, punished. I have heard many say that that's what the COVID-19 is. It is punishment against a sin-sick world that have denied that God has created the heaven and the earth, that God is the one in charge, and he has brought punishment against us. You say, Pastor Paul, do you really believe that? I believe all sin is, all sickness is a judgment, whatever it may be, because God has said that our sins will cause things to go wrong. There will be punishment. Take your Bibles now to John chapter 21, verse 15. God will bring judgment, and he will chastise, and he will bring chastisement against Peter right now. See, when Adam and Eve sinned, they brought death into the world. You say, well, what death was caused? Well, first, the sheep were killed to clothe them. Death. We find that Abel was killed by Cain. And later, Adam and Eve themselves would die. And so there is the physical death, but there is also the spiritual death. Because of that, men and women die and go to hell. And if they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, hell will be their home after death. But thank God that he has provided a way of salvation. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what a glorious thought that is. But we find here in John chapter 21, verse 15, we find Jesus and Peter talking. There has been a meal. After fish have been caught and cooked, Jesus says to Peter, calling him Simon also, Simon Peter, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Have you ever had to talk to someone after you have offended them? After you have done them wrong? After you have done something, well, that on your part may have been a little stupid, Jesus comes to Simon Peter, and he says this, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, one time, okay, Lord, you've asked it. Yes, I do love you. But Jesus asks this question of Peter three times. Lovest thou me? Is it coincidental that Jesus should ask him three times, since that was the number of times Peter denied him? See, Peter, when he was asked or told that he was one of the disciples of Jesus, he should have said yes. Each time he should have declared, I love him. Yes, I'm his follower. No, Jesus says unto him, lovest thou me? So I ask the question to you that know Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Lovest thou the Lord? Are you serving him faithfully? Are you trusting him fully? Lovest thou me? Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. We're getting close to the verse that is the cause for the rest of the sermon. Beginning at verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Sometimes we don't want to remember something that we did that was wrong. And yet I don't believe that Peter ever forgot that night in which he betrayed his Lord three times. Though he may have been forgiven, I don't think he ever forgot it. And verse 2 says that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Can I say this, that there are people walking in our world today that are scoffers of the Christian faith? That there are those that scoff and say, hey, come on, do you really believe that? They are walking after their own lusts. We live in a society that has fallen in love with entertainment, wanting to be entertained 24/7. In fact, I would dare say that if suddenly our cell phones and our televisions and our computers were shut down, we would have a society that wouldn't know what to do, because we want to be entertained all the time. And we have put Christ and his teachings out of our minds. But let's look at what they said in Peter's day, verse 4. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. You know, the flood is a very important key to the word of God. The fossils that remain because of the flood, where we have shark fossils, where we would never think we would have shark fossils, on top of mountains and far away from oceans. Well, how can that be, Pastor Paul? The flood waters took them there. And yet there are those who say the flood was never happened, or it was just a regional thing. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Can I tell you this, that time is for mankind and not for God? That God lives in the present, the past, and the future, all at the same time. That time means nothing to God. The fact that Jesus Christ left 2,000 years ago, and we can say that was 2 days ago, time means nothing. And his return is imminent. It could even be today. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Are you ready if it were today? And now we get to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is. Well, what is the Lord? Well, he is loving. I'm glad that we have a loving God. The Lord is compassionate. He sees your needs, your spiritual needs, and he has provided for them. He is not only loving and compassionate, he is merciful. And he is a giver. You thank God for his giving? The greatest giver in all the universe is God the Father. He sent God the Son, who gave himself for us. The Lord is long-suffering. Have you ever come to a point where you said, enough is enough is enough, and that's it. I will not put up with, and whatever it is. No more, I won't tolerate it. Well, the Lord is long-suffering. Praise God for that. The Lord is long-suffering to usward, to men and women and children. He sees our needs and He has provided a way. And He allows us to be told again and again what needs to be done. He sees that man is easily led astray. And yet He has open arms as the father of the prodigal son did, welcoming us home. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want people to go to hell. God does not want people to die and spend eternity in hellfire. He has sent a way of redemption. He has sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He wants all of us to get things right, to repent. You know, sometimes it's hard to ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it's hard to come to that person that you have offended, to tell that person that you're sorry for what you did to them. But it is even harder to come before the God of the universe and say to Him, forgive me. The desire to get things right with the Lord. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In conclusion, sometimes my conclusions are long, but my conclusion this morning is simply one word. Come, come, come to repentance. Come to Him that gives life. Come to Him that gives peace of mind. Come to Him that gives comfort. Come and get things right. For God so loveth the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come. With only the musical instruments playing the invitation, would you please stand? Every head bowed. As we have our invitation time, is your heart right with God? Are you prepared to meet your Maker? I'd like us to pray this morning for the Covenant Baptist Church. Pray that souls could be made right and hearts could be saved. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd be more than glad to talk to you even this morning, if you would let it. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now that You would bless this time of invitation. May hearts be made right. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.